You're listening to the Inspire Excellence Podcast, recorded at the BVA headquarters with your hosts, Kevin Miller and Tommy Ahlquist. Each episode is focused on shedding new light on different perspectives to create dialogue that inspires excellence.
Welcome once again, everyone, to the Inspire Excellence Podcast. Tommy Ahlquist, Kevin Miller here, and a dynamic duo with us today, Tommy.
Yeah, we're excited. We've got a lot of good shows coming, Kevin, but I think none more exciting for me than today.
Oh.
Seriously, you will know who we have on here in a minute. I think Maggie, most of us wake up every morning to Maggie for years and love you. And I've known your husband now for a bit, James. And when we talk about inspiring people out there, and Kevin and I sat down and made a list, who inspires you in the community? Top of the list, Maggie, seriously. And so to have you here today, but not just because of what you do in the community, if people that get to know you, the energy, the enthusiasm, the way you live your life, and then you hear what happens at home and spend time with James, it's an unbelievable thing. I just think people want to know how on God's green earth do they do it? So that's today's show. Maggie O'Mara and James, thank you so much for being here. Kevin?
Well, I want to know about James. First of all, welcome. And what's it like to live with someone as high profile as your wife, a Channel 7 anchor, known throughout the community? You've got a lot of kids. You share everything on social media. How did you two meet?
We met at the Bass Center.
The best part is he didn't even know who I was.
No, I at that point in time, I had no idea that she was on TV or who she was. I had been living in the valley for a while.
So that's why I married him.
That's why you married me?
Because you didn't know who I was.
You didn't have a TV?
Well, I just didn't. Ooh.
I'm going to have to.
I know, but.
That's a good question, Tommy.
How is that possible? Well, let's let James talk. Everybody's getting on James all of a sudden.
Well, I hadn't, God, who gets up at 5 a.m. besides Tommy and you three that are all sitting here.
Sure.
That's a good point.
And I just didn't know. I had no idea. And then I figured it out when I think my sister called and said, "You're dating the conservative news lady." Those were the words, because that was kind of unbelievable. And we met, and it was fate and coincidence or all those things. And
he asked me to marry him 3 months later. It was quick. It was a quick courtship.
Wow.
Yeah. And anyone would say you're insane for getting married after 3 months. We didn't get married after 3 months. We waited a year, but we did get engaged.
We did.
So there you have it.
So love at immediate sparks, chemistry. Tell us a little more.
Was. Absolutely. Absolutely.
It definitely was. Well, I gave him my number and then he said, "I'll take you to dinner on Tuesday." And I said, "Oh, great." You know, and I got in the cab and the phone rang. I'm like, "Hello?" It was him. I'm like, "Who is this guy calling me right away? This is the best man on earth. They wait 3 days, 4 days. There's a rule. Am I right?"
I'll take your word for it.
Well, I haven't been single in 10 years, but back in the day, they'd wait 3 to 4 days to call you or text you and then take you out. But he called me on the cab ride home, so I knew he was something special.
That's nice.
Yeah.
So this is how many years ago? How many years you've been married? 10?
10. Yeah.
10 years.
10 years.
Now tell us about kids. This is where it gets crazy for me.
It does get crazy. Well, I've always wanted a big family. I'm one of six, and he is?
Eighth of eight.
So we knew we wanted a big family. And as a matter of fact, James bought me a big dining room table and I said, "I'm going to fill this thing. I'm going to fill it up."
And I thought, there's no way.
But we did. So we had one boy in 2010. And then 2 years later had a girl. And then 2 years later had a boy. 2 years later had a boy. 2 years later had a boy. So we have five. And our youngest is 4 months old.
Yeah.
And our oldest is eight. So we have 8, 6, 4, 2, and new. Those are our ages. And it's wild.
It's crazy.
It's more fun at our house. You should see the behind the scenes, you know.
Yeah.
So one of the things, you know, I have four.
Yes.
But they're spaced out a little bit.
Yeah.
And the thought of that, knowing the energy and time, I mean, you go from, you know, there's two of you and then there's one, and then it's man-to-man defense, then it's zone, then it's chaos. And then they grow and they're all in different phases. I mean, as a parent and with Shannon and I, just look at the two of you. I'm like,
You're making it sound really difficult.
Well, it is difficult. So how on earth are you doing it?
James, how do we do it?
And there's no secret, potion. There's no secret. And I think the biggest part of it, we laugh lots.
Yes.
I mean, we laugh a ton at our house.
We do.
Who's the weirdest? Who's the funniest? All those things are very important in our lives. Because otherwise, it is chaotic, right? There's five little people under 8 years old that are always, they always need something.
Yeah.
That's why
I'm a concierge pretty much all day long.
Yeah, it's concierge.
But I keep calm. I realized after the first two where I felt a little overwhelmed, after the second one, I realized, okay, I'm just going to go slow about everything. I'm going to go slow. I'm going to stay calm. I'm not going to freak out. And so that's how I mother. And really it just works for me. I'm just very calm. James often asks me what I'm on, which is nothing. Diet Coke. That's about it. A little caffeine. But, I just take it really slow and I don't let anything really get me riled up.
I do the right.
I have a ton of questions, so I'm
I'm good. I'll just listen.
You chime in if you. So tell me about your relate, because I think people listening today.
Yeah.
There's a lot of people that have families and stressive jobs. Mm-hmm. James, tell us a little bit about your job first, yeah. And then I want to get into how you two stay strong.
So my job, I do retirement planning and finances and insurance for people, which I work for a great company, TMG Financial, and it's allowed me time. I make my own appointments. I work for myself. So it allows me the time to do things. As some people don't have that time. If you got to punch the clock 9 to 5, be there every day, that it's hard to do a lot of things like we do. Our schedules are different. Matt goes to work at 3 a.m. And who goes to work at 3 a.m.? So I do all the morning stuff. We get everybody to school. We do all those things. But then Matt gets home early and I don't do those things. So it's equaled out very well.
Yeah, it really has. My job, people say, how do you do it? Well, this is the only way I could do it. Honestly, I couldn't work a day shift, or I couldn't even work a night shift. The only shift I can work is the morning shift, because I'm at work most of the time they're asleep when I'm working.
Okay, we're going to jump around a little bit here, but yeah. Listen, I did night shifts for 10 years.
Yes.
But if you study circadian rhythms and how our bodies work, there's this thing that happens at 4 that is like biological. You're waking up at 3.
Yeah.
When that thing's happening at 4.
Actually, I wake up at 2.
So how does that work? I mean, how do you?
Well, I press snooze about 6 times, drive this guy crazy. I'm surprised he hasn't divorced me over that alone. I mean, I have a hard time getting up. There's no doubt. I'm sure you do too. It's hard to get up in the middle of the night, isn't it, Kevin? Sure.
Yes, ma'am.
I mean, but we have a baby right now who needs to eat. So that helps me get up. So I feed him, jump in the shower, do my hair and don't do my makeup, do my hair, get dressed, go to work, do my makeup there, and just kind of get the day rolling. As soon as I get there, it's kind of like adrenaline because I have a lot to do. I do radio for Kevin, and then I do a bunch of other stuff before I even go on. I have to read 3 hours of content. I've got to get caught up. But honestly, Tommy, I'm caught up the night before at 10 o'clock. I know exactly what's going on all the time because of Twitter, because of Facebook, because of CNN, MSNBC. You know, I watch everything. I read everything, and I'm constantly knowing what's going on.
Wow.
That's just what I like to do. I it drives him nuts.
I was going to say, what's that like for James?
Well, now he has to watch the news.
Yeah,
all
I was going to say.
There's a lot of news on our TV, but we have a lot
of
TVs.
He's not a fan of Chris Cuomo because he's so handsome.
Yeah, I don't like those guys very well. Those really good looking guys.
I don't like Chris Cuomo for other reasons, but go ahead.
the nice part is we have 4 TVs. I go find another one to watch. And there's always, we have kids that are, but for Mag, it's a 24-hour-a-day job, I think.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't know,
Well, I think you have a responsibility. You have to know what's going on. You cannot be a clueless airhead out there. You're not just out there to look good, You have to know what's happening in the world, and you have to have a view of what's going on. You have to try and present everything balanced and fair. Right now, that's very hard to do in this climate. You have to do the best you can, and you have to really know what's happening. And also locally, we have so much going on in this valley, as Tommy. Because it's because of you, I think. The whole community has grown by leaps and bounds.
It's going crazy, isn't it?
Because of one man who came into town and blew the place up. It's just huge. The growth here is phenomenal, and that means there's more news. That means there's a lot more to cover.
Can I go back? We're skipping around a little bit, but
yeah.
I would really like our listeners to understand, because one of the things that I think we can learn from the two of you is life's busy, right? Mm-hmm. Never perfect. Yeah. It's crazy. how do you two stay connected? How do you stay strong in your marriage and your, I mean, how do you do that in the middle of a really busy life?
Yeah.
I think my wife's really hot. Oh.
What?
I think my wife is very hot. She's very beautiful.
This is not appropriate.
This is appropriate. She's very beautiful. She's smart. She's funny. And every day, that is enough. That makes me, that's how you keep it alive. That's how you keep your marriage strong. Why? Because I'm crazy about my wife. Easy as that. And have been since the day I met her.
Well, we went from Chris Cuomo to that. So
that's why I don't like Chris, because Chris can kind of slide in and out.
Sure.
That's good looking type. Yeah. All the hair. Those types.
Yep. Maggie, what about for you?
I prefer bald men. But
that's good.
For me, I don't know. We've always just connected in a way that is just, we're best friends. That's for sure. I mean, that is the number one thing. Everything that goes on, I run through him. He runs through me. And we're crazy about our kids. That keeps us connected too. They don't drive us crazy. We actually like to be home with them. We like to be at home cooking. We like to hang out at home.
That's true.
And, you know, on the weekends we get invited a lot of places and we just say, no, let's stay in our pajamas and cook and be with the kids. And we just enjoy that family life. So I think that's why we're doing so well. When they grow up, I hope we still have that connection. I think we will.
You know, Maggie, a little bit of insight into you. We've talked about this before, but you know, you're a veteran of the TV business, very tough business, morning drive. You're in a great place, great location, great family. You have it all. 20 years ago, when you were dreaming about this, did you envision yourself here? And I mean, that's a lot of sacrifice for James, a lot of sacrifice for you. Mm-hmm. What's that like as far as living your dream?
You know, when I moved here to Boise, I thought it was going to be a stop.
Right.
I thought it was going to be a quick year and then I'd keep going, right? I had no connection. I had no family. I knew no one when I moved here, as a matter of fact. And I had no friends. So I roll into town and I think, okay, I'm just going to do my best to do the best I can and move to the next market, you know? And that's how most people are who come through here. But I fell in love with this community. I fell in love with this town. I didn't meet him until 8 years after I moved here. So I had a full life of experience before we even met. I don't know where he was all that time and what took him so long to show up. No, I'm kidding. But
that's good, because I have 12 kids right now.
Earlier. You so would. No. We'll get to that. I'd like another one. He's cutting me off. I think that, you know, I am living a dream for me. I always wanted to be in the news, delivering, be a journalist and do what I'm doing. But I also always want to be a mother. So I have both, you know, here. And who's made that possible? Honestly, Channel 7. I could not do it without the support I have there. First it was Doug Armstrong, and now it's Kate Morris, who they want you to be a good mother. They want you to be a good employee. They want you to have the well-rounded life and the work-life balance. I have that there, so I'm very fortunate. But the first person that made that possible was Doug. Doug Armstrong, he's awesome. He's just an incredible man. And then Kate came up the ranks and took over, and she has those same values and feelings. She and I had our babies at the same time, so she's also a dynamic person that you guys should have on this podcast, because she's running a TV giant.
Love, you know. Kate. I didn't plan on asking this, but just thinking of you coming up and some examples to you, talk about Carolyn and Dee.
Yes.
Families, right?
Yep, absolutely.
Was that helpful?
It was so helpful. Those two women are amazing and supportive and would do anything for me. They're at my wedding. They have been to the hospital visiting me after having babies. They're just the kind of women who build up women. And that's the kind of woman I want to be, you know, who bring women up and make them feel empowered and not like you're in a competition. There's enough. There's enough going on for all of us to shine. There's no need to take anyone's light away, if that makes any sense. I feel like women who are inspirers, women who are leaders, are the women who encourage other women and help them to develop and grow the way Carolyn and Dee helped me. I want to do that with young journalists as well, and I try to do that at our work. So,
can I take the next one? So I've known you for a long time, Maggie, and I think the one word that would come to mind when I think of you is authenticity. I mean, you're just such an authentic person, right?
Well, I am myself. That's true.
But it's this wonderful connection. People think people are attracted to that, and I think that's why they follow you and like you so much in all that you do. Mm-hmm. But there's also this deep caring for community. Mm-hmm. And then I met James later, and I think the very first time we spent time together, I thought, dude's authentic. So I think the two of you are so authentic. Talk to our listeners about why that's important to be happy and why that connects you to a community, to friends, to a place. Because I think if there were more authenticity in the world and genuine caring for others and, and just why I think that defines you, but why is that important?
Gosh. Well, for me, I just decided a long time ago I was going to be myself. I was not going to play the role of an anchor woman or a reporter. I was just going to be me, you know, and if people don't like it, I guess I'll move, you know. Fortunately, I think it worked out. People have embraced me here, and I'm so grateful for that. But I also show my flaws. I'm pregnant all the time, right, on TV. I go through all the ups and downs of that, you know, and that's not easy for a woman to be on TV at 5 a.m. pregnant 5 times, you know. It's hard work, you know, making that happen. And I think the women at home who are watching me are doing it too. And they're thinking, oh, Maggie's doing it. I can do it. We can all do this together, you know, type thing. And I'm just a regular woman. I mean, I have kids. I have a husband. I'm involved in the school. I go to the sports games. I do all the things everyone else does. And I think social media helps you with authenticity, which is a weird thing to say out loud. It doesn't. It sounds contradictory because a lot of people don't really show the truth on social media, but I really try to. Like, this is a tough morning. I have spit up on my shirt. This is what's going on. My dress is, you know, this. Or it was a rough night. I was up all night. I forgot bags under my eyes. This is the reason why. I think people want to see people who are real. They don't want to see a fake, glossy, transposed version of a woman who's not really showing who she is. They want to see the real you. And if you show them the real you and you're vulnerable to do that, I think the rewards are incredible. And then you feel at home in your own skin. This is me, you know, this is who I am. And people like to see that. And I'm happy because of it. And I think I don't have to play any roles or put on a show, I guess. What do you think, hun? You're authentic.
Well, you know, but I think it's different. I grew up here. I have a large...
People know him more than me. When we go out on the town, Tommy, it's James Waddell. Oh, yeah, and you're married to the news lady.
That's not true, but...
It is so true. He knows everyone. Everyone knows him, and everyone loves him.
Yeah. So, and when it comes to authenticity, I don't know if I've ever had a choice. Right? You're going to be who you are, right? People are going to... If I'm going to be somebody else, there's somebody I know from my past will probably come up and punch me in the chest and say, hey, man, that's not who you are, right? So, and even though as we change throughout our lives, right, you are who you are, you know? And it's going to be different people at different times doing different things because I'm not the same guy with my babies as I am out with my buddies. Those are two different people, right? Same guy, but you know what? So that's what you're going to get. What I want to be able to tell you whatever I want. So that makes it really easy to be authentic.
Authentic. Yes.
Thanks. Mag helps me a lot with my vocabulary too. But I think that's just, you know, being from here and being who we are. If you're not who you are, you're going to be found out at some point in time anyway.
You know, I feel like I know both of you from your social media presence. Is there something that you won't share? I mean, I've seen you with your newborns, with your shirt off and holding your child, very powerful stuff. And, you know, when you guys go on vacation to see Maggie's relatives in California or moving, you really share your lives. How comfortable are you with that?
Yes and no.
Right.
Sometimes I think it was very hard to kind of grasp that. I may know a lot of people, but I don't put my face out on everything. You see a lot less of me in social media than you do of my wife and my kids.
Right.
But once again, this is really our community, right? This is our community. We're going to be here. Our kids are going to go through school. People are going to know who they are, right? We're who we are in this community. They're going to know. I'm at school every day almost picking up my kids. People know who I am. So we share it, but You know what?
I think sometimes
he gets annoyed too.
He gets annoyed sometimes, to be honest.
Yeah, well, yeah. I mean, but that's
he'll say, "Do you have to share everything?" You know, I really don't share everything. But he, you know, you can create a monster. It's true. You know, you're feeding a beast. People want more. They want more of you.
Especially being high profile.
Well, the more you share, the more people want. You know, and like when I had my baby. Each baby, you know, there's like baby watch and everyone's, "Where's Maggie today? She had the baby," you know, that kind of thing. And then I feel like I have to let people know, no, I'm just resting today, having contractions. So I really am sharing all of that with everybody. But I feel that, love for people on Facebook. I don't get any of that nastiness. I really don't.
Every once in a while
I'll get some crazy person, but very, very rarely. People are so supportive and so sweet, and they just want to be a part of your life. They just want to know what's going on, you know. And I started it a long time ago. I was what I would call an early adapter to social media. I started before anyone did Facebook. I got on, I thought, oh, this is kind of fun to keep in touch with my relatives in California. Then I made a fan page for Channel 7. People started liking it. And I thought, wow, you know, this is a great way to keep in touch with your viewers. Story ideas. I get so many Seven's Heroes and story ideas from Facebook. That is how I communicate with people. I see a post go viral. Bam. I contact them right away. I want to meet you tomorrow at 10 o'clock. Let's do this story. Social media is powerful for that. Now, right now, Facebook's under fire. Who knows if people are going to keep their pages? They're not following the privacy rules. They're giving away our information. It could go away, you know, and honestly, that would be a hard thing for me and our business, because in the media, we use social media a lot. I mean, all the time, every day.
Can we shift? You said the word, and I shift gears a little bit. Seven's Hero.
Yes. Right? Yes. My favorite thing.
Well, I think of the impact over the years of the stories you've done and the connection you have to the community.
Yes.
So we spent time on family and how you're doing it but talk about our community here.
Yes.
Talk about some of the things you've seen, the needs, what have you learned through that process?
Well, I've met so many amazing people. Kevin Miller's been a Seven's Hero.
The rescue mission.
Yes, he has. He spent 7 days there. Was it seven or five?
Six.
Six, and lived in the shelter.
Yes, ma'am.
Which was amazing. I featured him when he did that. I mean, there's incredible people doing incredible things in this community all the time. The problem is we focus so much on the negative in the media, and everything's what is wrong with the world, what's going on, all the chaos, the crime. That's like my little pocket of salvation, I would call it, because I go out, I meet this person, and I am a believer again, a believer in all the good in the world. That's why I do those stories, so that people watch those and say, there is good going on here. Look at this. It's only once a week. It's only Sunday nights. But we have been doing a lot more positive news. I don't know if you've noticed that, Tommy, but we're really trying to bring that out, because right now in this climate, you know, things are tough right now for people. There's a lot of depression, a lot of suicide going on right now. The rates are higher. There's just a general sense of, there's just a lot of, I don't know what the word is, negativity out there right now, right? We're not as connected as we should be. And I feel like the media is a powerful way to bring us together and to not abuse that power, to use it for good by finding amazing stories and telling them and making people say, hey, I cried watching that story last night. That brought out the humanity in me. That is my goal, is to make people feel again.
James.
I'm not really sure how to...
I was just going back to James when he said, you know, when Maggie goes, was it five or seven? And I said six. She's just very precise. And I'm going, well, James must have his hands full, with all due respect. I'm just,
yeah.
You do have your hands full.
Yeah.
With me and all those children. But yeah, I have a lot going on. I have a lot going on in my mind, in my work. But, you know, I take home a lot of that with us. We deal with that. You know, there's so much of that going on.
Yeah.
I'm sure James would rather have a wife at home all the time than somebody who's always kind of half there, half at work, half there, half at work. But in order to make a job like mine work, you kind of have to be connected. You can't turn it off. Because what if something huge happens and you miss it you're not?
And I'd love to hear, you kind of touched on a little bit, but I mean, I think we are very polarized. There's a lot of negativity. Mm-hmm. There's just, and I think with social media, there's less connection, human connection.
That's very true.
Than we used to have anyway. I mean, I just look at my kids that are in the middle of it, just the human connections that we used to have and how good we got at it, just connecting, right? And then there's the news thing. We have our next week's podcast that we've already recorded that we're releasing has one of your colleagues, yes, Joe Paris, on it. We talked about fake news and kind of the attack that on journalism.
Oh,
and then you got local journalism. And I would be interested to hear your thoughts on that as well.
Well, we get attacked too. I mean, I'll be in an elevator alone with someone and they'll say, I really enjoy watching you, but boy, that fake news you people are putting out every day. And I just want to say, because that's just a shot to the heart. I don't do this to provide people with fake news. Nothing I'm saying on the air in my mind is ever fake, ever. I mean, we're an NBC affiliate. I know a lot of people have views about NBC News and how they feel about it. They either love it, they hate it, they might be in the middle, they might think it's fake. I think the problem is right now is that we're divided in terms of what the definition of news is. News is what's happening right now. It's not how you feel about it. It's what is happening. So let's say something's happening and we report it. Whether or not you agree with it or not does not make it fake news. That is my feeling about fake news. Whether or not you agree with what's going on in the world does not make it fake. That's the problem right now in America with the whole fake news thing. So I try to do my best to not get discouraged, to realize we just keep powering through. We keep showing people what's happening. Let them decide how they feel about it. But don't let them call it fake news. Educate and help people understand that when something is happening in the world and we present it, that does not mean it's fake. Does that make sense, Tommy?
It makes total sense. Kevin.
Okay.
I listen to a lot of your callers. It's funny every morning. Let me tell you about my morning.
Kevin.
My morning, I wake up and after I work out, I turn on Maggie, and then I get in my car and I turn on Kevin, and then I hear you.
You're getting it all every morning.
What time do you get up?
I need early, but I need to talk a little bit about
when does Tommy
things,
sleep.
One of the things that makes Tommy's me laugh is, you know, he always says, "Good morning, Maggie," with a little bit more gusto in his voice than when he says, Larry. "Good morning, Larry."
Well,
yeah.
Oh,
let's be honest there.
And I'm very close with Larry. Yes, I know.
You are. But anyway, Kevin, you know, you've got callers on your show and you know, you see a lot more of that.
Sure.
That anger.
Right.
That, and I think this is just my opinion. You turn on some of the news channels on each side, and instead of them reporting, they do absolutely flavor it, spin it, and it out.
That is true.
On both sides. So I think that you see that happening, and then there's everything else in the middle. And then there's, you know, America and people that love this country and love our community trying to say, what's going on?
Yeah.
Kevin.
You know, sometimes I have to defend Channel 7. And, you know, people are very opinionated, but that's my job is to get the opinions going. And, you know, it is an entertaining product, sometimes some information. But one of the things that makes what Maggie does and Channel 7 so special, Tommy, you're a part of it. PVA is a part of it. Is 7 Cares is really living the community. Everybody involved with Channel 7, we see them on the TV, but we don't see them giving speeches or helping nonprofits, auctioning, speaking, hosting. And, you know, sometimes I have to bring that out to folks because it's not NBC News in New York. It's our community here.
Mm-hmm. Well, frankly, here's my, it makes me mad because I think a lot of these people that are critical, if they actually were involved in the community and they saw how much volunteer work happens from I go down the list of all the people at your station that are on boards,
yes,
that give, that volunteer, that MC every single auction in the history of the planet all year long.
Yes.
Then you have 7 Cares Day. And I think to myself, are you kidding me? So I think there are a bunch of angry people out there on both sides. And I think that they must, you know, I don't know, but I wish they got more involved and saw the goodness that happened. And I think that was kind of the thing I wanted to talk about is you got local news and local community people versus this national rhetoric. And where does it all fit together? It's got to be very frustrating.
It is frustrating. I wish I could find a way to bring us together on more of a level than just 7-0 or 7 Cares. You know, there's got to be ways where we can work things out and compromise and talk and have, I often try to spur, you know, adult conversations on Facebook where we can communicate about our differences. I've tried this a few times. Like, this is what's happening with President Trump. How do you feel? Tell me your thoughts. Are you in support of this? Are you not in support of this? Let's keep it civil, right? Mm. And then the fighting begins and people start attacking each other. And then, you know, it's like cats in a bag, you know, and I can't control it. Before long, there are thousands of comments on my page of people arguing and spreading hate and spewing lies and back and forth and just taking it out on each other. I mean, that's where social media is not a good thing. Is well, that
opinions are easy.
But yeah, you want to give them right? a chance to share their opinions civilly, but people can't do it. They opinions. Can't.
Hey,
can't
listen, do it. Listen.
Opinions are so easy.
That's what
having
I'm
knowledge
on.
Is difficult. Right?
I got a 2-year dose of this, right? I mean,
yeah, you oh did.
You go from the real world, yeah. what I used to call it, into yes. politics, and you ask for it, right?
Yes.
And people, you know, hey, you asked for this, so here we go. And you hear, sometimes I thought when I was out on the campaign trail, I wish I could record you so you could listen to yourself.
Because
there's so much hypocrisy in the world on both sides
yeah.
that if you ever just said, wait a minute, let's talk about what's real here and come down to the where you can have a civil discussion about
why
something.
Why can't we have civil discussions right
can't.
Now? Why it's can't tough. We? It's dividing
the
families. It's dividing parents and children. It's dividing brothers and sisters.
Kevin's laughing because his show wouldn't be nearly as good.
No. We don't want any civil discussions from 5 to 9 on the radio.
You do have civil discussions
you
over
do.
There.
You do a great job.
Sometimes, yes. But, you know, that's what makes it entertaining and people go too far. But, you know, how do you both unplug from that? I mean, this is just listening to this. We're all tensing up here. I mean, how do you two relax?
Well, how do we relax? You know, we don't relax because, Kevin, we have piles of laundry. Do you know what we do on Saturday nights? We call it our laundry dates because we do about 10 loads of laundry, dump it out on the master bedroom, on the bed, and we fold for hours while we watch our DVR shows. That is our Saturday night. We are so fun that, I mean, but honestly, if one of us goes out or goes to a party,
what are you going
to
do? What else are we gonna
that
do?
Person's left with all the laundry, and then there's the bottles to wash, and then there's the, you know, all the kids need baths, and we have an assembly line. I mean, we don't really relax.
This is
I have to tell you.
We chose, right?
But we chose it. We love it.
Good, right?
I love giving all those kids baths every night and getting them in clean jammies and brushing their hair.
We don't want to go
This
out.
Makes me happy. But you know what?
Sure.
That's how I decompress.
Right.
How I decompress is taking care of them and being the mom I need to be.
It's easy to turn off the world when the only thing that really matters are these little people in front of you.
Yes.
It's pretty easy. I find it really easy just to go click to the whole thing, mm-hmm. right? Enjoy my people, do what they want to do.
Yeah.
You know, I don't need to leave.
We find our ways. We find our ways. And once the kids go to bed, we have good talks and discussions and
for
a glass of wine or whatever we need to do.
Until Meg falls asleep.
Yeah, until I pass out and get up and do it all over again.
I don't know how she does it.
Yeah.
I'm just sitting here thinking how I hope that people that are listening to this today, because I've certainly felt this. It's so nice to be around people that are in love, love their family, love their community, that are just so real. I mean, it's just so real and authentic. It's really inspiring. And the world needs more of that. I mean, think about the parenting and legacy to those kids of yours, and what they're experiencing with parents that love each other and that are committed to this thing called family. Any comments on that? Just family.
I don't think it's as rare as we think. I don't think it's rare. I think I'm just in the spotlight. So it's easy to say, hey, look at Maggie and her situation. I mean, obviously we have our ups and downs. Everyone does. I mean,
life's not easy.
No.
Right. We know that. It's going to punch you all the time. You just have to decide how to punch. You know, can you dodge some? Can you take some?
Exactly. And it's just stay strong and stay best friends. That's really what we do. Mm. But honestly, I think there's a lot of families out there like ours, like yours, you know, and people doing exactly what we're doing. You and I are just more in the spotlight. So we're kind of out there. But I think there's so many. I mean, just driving into your office today through all those neighborhoods.
Oh, my gosh.
I mean, I forget how big this place is because we live in Eagle. I'm tucked into my little area in Eagle and then drive Chinden to work, come back home, go downtown for some, you know, thick lunches or meetings. I mean, really, the growth here is just amazing. And this is all families out here.
Yeah.
That's what this is. That's what these neighborhoods are. I mean, just homes upon homes upon homes. So.
And now it's time for the big question.
Okay.
We're going to start with James.
All right.
If that's okay with you.
Oh, please do. He needs to talk more. Yeah. Pipe up there, hun. Uh-huh.
James, what inspires you?
What inspires me? Well, that's a hard question. You know, I think really what inspires me is I want to be a really good dad, right? I mean, that's really what I want to be. And a husband. And yeah. Part of my community, but being a dad is just, I love it. And it inspires me. My kids inspire me. I look at them and they're smart and they're funny. And that's what drives me. Mm-hmm. You know, it's what drives my business. One of the reasons I'm in my business, hey man, I get time with my kids.
Yeah.
That's huge. Right. My dad didn't do, you know, my dad had, it was limited, right? As all 50s dads kind of were. Right? So there's a new generation, that's a different generation. And that's kind of, I think I'd say that's what inspires me. Mm-hmm. Most of all is my family. I just, I love what I do, man. I love the whole gig.
The gig.
It's a gig. It's a good one, you know?
Well, then why can't we have number six? I don't get it.
It's not that good of a gig, but.
Oh my.
God, I'm still working, Tommy. I'm working on it.
I can't get away. Yeah. Because then I have to buy two new Sprinter vans instead of just one.
We already have two giant SUVs,
which aren't big enough.
Yeah, and we don't have enough room in them for all the car seats, but it's just the way it is. They need to build a car that fits three across in both rows.
And Maggie, what inspires you?
What inspires me? Let's see. The people in this community that I meet who are making a huge difference. People who don't get all the spotlight and the airtime, and you meet them and you're like, wow, this is someone I want to know. I have so many lifelong friendships from the stories I've done. I keep in touch with almost all of the people I've done stories with. And we're friends on Facebook and we connect. And I know their kids. They know my kids. And we just bond, at these stories that we do. And truly, that is what inspires me. That is what inspires me, is people doing good things in this community to uplift and bring us together. And just seeing that humanity out there that exists. It's out there. We just need to show more of it. We need to show more of it. That is that's my opinion. I mean, the more good we show, the better.
And James inspires you.
Oh yeah.
Okay.
Just
checking.
He inspires me just to be a better mother, a better wife, all that good stuff at home. Absolutely. And he's very supportive of my work. I could not do what I do without him. If I didn't have him, there would be no me. There's no doubt.
I'm not so sure that it's true, but
it is. How would I do? How would I raise all these children and work? I mean, it's not possible.
Oh boy,
right? Tommy, you're a great team. I as we wrap up here, first of all, thank you
for
doing this.
Yeah,
I think the reason Kevin and I wanted to do this, and you know, in the podcast world, is to get something out there that does inspire people to look at the good in our community, mm-hmm. and tell stories that may not be told. And when we thought of you, everyone knows you, but I knew the authenticity behind who you are would inspire people. And I know that people listening to this will go away saying, hey, I'm going to be a better dad. I'm going to be a better person. And so thank you for being here today and your community treasures. Thank you for all you do.
Oh, goodness.
We love you.
It's an honor.
We love you, Kevin. Well.
Thank you, guys. Just reminding everybody to strive for excellence.
You've been listening to the Inspire Excellence Podcast. We invite you to find something that inspires you this week. Join us again for our next episode.